We are holding on Puflamid Bays, Omid Bays, 8 lines from the bottom. Continuing on the topic of the Matones, the Zroi L'Chayayim B'Keva, Omer Rav Chista, so Rav Chista says, Matnes Kohuna, Ein Necholos Elot Soli. These Matnes Kohuna, the Zroi L'Chayayim B'Keva, should be eaten only roasted. Ein Necholos Elot B'Chaudo, and they should be eaten only with mustard. My timer, why do Amakura? Because the pasuk is the Moshva. When Hashem summarizes the 24 Matnas Kohuna, which we're going to talk about later on, then it summarizes that they're all given to Aaron and to his descendants. The Moshva, which means the Gdula, which means for greatness. Literally, the Moshva means for anointing, but Rashi points out over there and in other places that the word for anointing is often that the word is often used to mean to make somebody great, to show that they're an important person. So therefore, see, you want to have Kederach Shamalach and Oathland, so you want that the Matnas Kohuna should be eaten in the way that kings eat them. Now, Tosfos points out, it doesn't actually mean that it must be that way and no other. If the Kohen has a preference, then he can eat them some other way. We're going to talk about soon, for example, about cooking them. But if he has no particular preference, then he should eat them that way, roasted and with mustard, because that's the royal way of eating meat. Okay. V'omer Rav Chista, also Rav Chista says, Esrim ba'aba matnas kohuna, the 24 matnas kohuna, which we're going to list later on, what they are, kol koyen sheni boki bahen, any koyen who's not familiar with them, meaning who doesn't know how to eat them and to use them in the proper way, ein nosen le'matana, then you can't give him these matanas. Because in other words, the point is, again, let's say with the Zerah L'Chayayim V'Keva, he's supposed to eat it roasted with mustard. If he's not familiar with that concept, then don't give it to him. And the same thing, Rav Chista is saying with the other ones. However, the Gemara says, V'lav mil sahi, that's not correct. You are, in fact, allowed to give him, even when he's not bucky, even if he's not familiar how you should eat them bigdula. Because what we see is there's a different point that prevents a kohen from getting matnas kohuna, not being bucky, but rather something else. Titanyu lunar brisa, Rav Shimon Amar, kol kohen shein moide ba'avoide. Any kohen who does not agree, who does not agree to or admit to the avoider. So ein lo chelek b'kohuna, he does not have a portion of the kohuna. Now, what does that mean to not admit to? What does that mean to not admit to it, or to not accept it? So there's a number of different points. So Rashi says it means that he's saying it's nonsense. Hashem never said to bring him kohanos. Moshe made the whole thing up. Then they ask. First of all, Tosfos points out, we learned at the beginning of the Perek, that actually it's more than that. It's not just a person who denies the validity of these things. It's even, we talk about an Amma Oretz, who doesn't know Torah, then also he shouldn't really be receiving, Matnas Kohuna. Anyway, there is further discussion about that, because what Rashi is saying, what the guy might say, is actually flat out apikursus. And therefore, anyway, he's possible avoda. So the Chofetz Chaim in his sefer Zevach Torah says, okay, maybe it doesn't mean that he denies it altogether. Maybe it just means he says, I don't want to bother. I can't be bothered to do that to do the avoda. Okay, and then. And there's further discussion about that. The Ritva says that it means he agrees. Sure, Moshe said it in Hashem's name, but he disagrees. He says some of these avodas are not actually required. Okay, so in any case, so the Braisa of Shimon is saying that if a person does that, then he has no portion in the kohuna, meaning he's not entitled to be getting portions from the korbanos. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Hamakriv es dam ha-shlomim v'esachelev v'me'ar, and the pasuk says the one who offers the blood of the shlomim and the chelev from among the sons, the one among the sons of Aaron who offers the blood and the chelev, lo yisi ashek ha-yomim l'mana, to him, the right leg of the animal, which is one of the things, as we learned previously, from a shlomim, you give the chos of a shoik, the breast, the chest and the thigh of the animal. So the pasuk says, for him, this right shoik should be as his portion. Meaning, in other words, it has to be that he agrees. So hamakruz means hoylocha, as we learned back in Zvachim, about walking the blood over to the mizbeach. And chelev means, of course, and chelev means actually burning the chelev on the mizbeach. So only if he actually is willing to do the avoda and agrees that it is something valid that Hashem did in fact give it to Moshe, and that he wants to do it, etc. So then he's entitled to a portion of the korbanos. But if not, then not.
So, and the Braisa continues, Ein Le'ela Zebel Vad. Now, if you only had that, if you only had those words in the pasuk, you would only know that about if he denies the sprinkling of the blood or the burning of the chaylev. What about, by the way, Tosfos, as far as this distinction of Tosfos that we're saying, as far as an Amoretz, where we said at the beginning of the Perek that we shouldn't give Matonis to a Kohen Amoretz, so Tosfos elsewhere explains that Truma and Meiser, you give, actually we talked about this previously as well, Truma and Meiser, you give to any Kohen you want, as opposed to the Korbanos, are given to that base of, to the base of that day, so you would think everybody should share it equally, and we're still saying he has to be Moed of Avoda, he has to agree that the Avoda is valid. Anyway, so the Braisa says, Ein Le'ela Zebel Vad, you would think that that applies only to these things, the offering the blood on the chaylev. What about Minayin L'Rabbis, Chamesh Esri Avodas? How do we know to include 15 other Avodas that come up in the course of bringing Korbanos? Where all of them, also, a Kohen has to agree that all of them are valid, not think that Moshe made any of them up, not think they're unimportant or whatever. So let's go through the list. If you're going to have Yitzitzis, we have pouring the oil on top of the mincha. Now, strictly speaking, not all of these things, as Tosfos points out, not necessarily the different opinions, not everybody agrees that all these things have to be done doctor by Kohen. In fact, the halacha is, it does not. The halacha is that up until you reach the point of kmitza, then a zorah can be preparing the mincha, and just the kohen has to do the kmitza. But fine, our braisa is going according to an opinion. Tosfos says that in fact that Reb Shimon would disagree with that. Reb Shimon would say that the kohenim themselves have to do the yitzika, have to do the pouring of the oil, the ablimis, mixing the flour with the oil, b'apsisas, breaking up the mincha, as we learned in Masechta Menachos, there are certain menachos that are fried or baked, and then they have to be crumbled up, they have to be broken or crumbled up into pieces before you do the kmitza. So that has to be done by certain menachos. V'amelichos, putting salt on the korbanos. Tinuchos, waving the mincha or certain other korbanos. Rashi points out, as we learned in Menachos, not all Menachos require Tznufa. There's only a couple of them that do. And for that matter, the next thing that we're going to mention as well, the Gemara says, V'hagothes, and touching the Korban, touching the Mincha to the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. Again, as we learned in Menachos, not all Menachos do require Hagosha. Some of them, in fact, require neither. For example, Lacham Aponim, he said, doesn't require either Tznufa or Hagosha. You don't have to touch it to the Mizbeach, and you don't have to wave it. So, but the ones that do require tnufa or hagosha, then the kohen has to accept the validity of that. Vakmitzis, also taking the koymets of the mincha. Haktoros, burning it on the mizbeach. Vahamtsoyus, squeezing out or squirting out the blood of a chatas ha'oif onto the mizbeach, as we learned about in Zvachim, v'amalikos, and the actual malika, the nipping through the neck of the korban. We have a number of different ones over here that at the end of the Gemara over here that are in parentheses or brackets, because apparently there were different gear size about which ones actually are included or not, so that we arrive at the total of 15. And we're apparently on the face of it, we should be talking about more the ones which are not absolutely required. For example, we learned in Menachos, even if the flour and the oil are not mixed, then technically the korban is still kosher as long as it was capable to mix them. But therefore, maybe not everything actually belongs on this list. Marshall points out that actually this Gemara is also in fact in Menachos, and it has a bit, and the list is slightly different over there. In any case, the Gemara continues, the Kabbalos, and the Kabbalos Adam, which is to receive the blood in a basin. Now, Tosfos points out that we actually had the words, we said Amakriv is Dama Shlomim, and the word Amakriv means, among other things, the Kabbal. But on the other hand, Tosfos says no. It says Hamakriv is Dama Shlomim vs Achevav. He offers the blood of the Shlomim and the Chevav. By Chevav does not Kabbalah. Then by blood also, we have to say that Hamakriv in this pasuk does not refer to Kabbalah, but rather a different avodah. Therefore, we can say that we do need a separate limud in the pasuk to say that Kabbalah, that the Kohen has to agree that Kabbalah is something valid as well.
Okay, hazois, the actual sprinkling of the blood on the Mizbeach. So, okay, so the bottom line is, this list is including some things that really are absolutely essential. A korban is no good without the hazah. On the other hand, for example, again, we said that a korban can be good without pouring in the oil or mixing it, not even the oil, so you pour it in, rather, but without mixing it, and various other things. So it's true that we have a mixture of things over here that are absolutely required, and a ma'at of the korban, and things that are not. Anyway, now let's go on beyond korbanos. There are other things that kohenim have to do as well. Vashkos soita, giving the soita who drink. A kohen has to do that. The decapitation of the egla rufa, the actual decapitation itself, doesn't need to be done by a kohen, but the kohenim need to be present over there. Nitra kohenim b'nei Levi, as the pasuk says, the kohenim should approach, and then during the ceremony over there, they have their piece to say. Kapol am for Yisrael, they ask Hashem to forgive the Jewish people for this avera. So a kohen has to agree that that's something valid and necessary to form the Torah. Onesias kapayim v'taras metzora, and the purification of a metzora with the birds and the whole thing described at the beginning of Parshas Metzora, a kohen has to do that. Onesias kapayim ben mefnim ben mechutz, and duchening, whether in the Beis Mikdash or outside it. So how do we know that ma'as kohuna given to a kohen, only to a kohen who accepts that all of those are valid, who doesn't claim that Moshe invented any of those things, or who doesn't claim I don't agree by some of them. I hold that some of them are not ma'akiv, technically some of them are not ma'akiv, but the point is, he has to know that all of them are important, or he says, I don't feel like doing them, or whatever, So how do we know that all of those are included as well, and he has to agree to all of those as well? So that's why, Talmud Vayomer, that's why the pasuk doesn't just say, Amakir v'sadam ha'shalom v'sacheilev, it continues, Mibnei Aaron, from among the sons of Aaron, from which we learn, Avoida ha'masura l'bnei Aaron, so it means any avoida which is given over to the sons of Aaron, he has to agree to the validity of it. And therefore, v'chol koyin chayin in moedibah, so any koyin who doesn't agree with any of these avoidas, eimei chelek v'kohona, he has no portion among the kohuna, meaning that we do not give him the matnas kohuna. So, time of day in motive. So what do we see? The implication is only because he doesn't agree to it. And he claims, as Rashi says, that Moshe made it up, or it's not so important, or whatever. Ha motive, implying if he does agree with it, even if he's not really baki, he doesn't know the particular halachas, such as this detail about that the matnas, such as the detail that the zroi l'chayayim v'keva should be eaten preferentially roasted and with mustard. So even if he doesn't know, then he's allowed to get matnas kohuna, which is not like Rav Chista, who said that if he's not baki, then he can't get matnas kohuna. So that's why the Gemara had said on the previous Amud, the lav milsehi, it's not correct what Rav Chista is saying because it's shlugged up by this Braisa. Okay. In this connection, the Gemara brings another statement. Amud of Abba, Amud of Huna, Amud Rav. The threads, the blood vessels in the jaw of the animal, asurim, so those are also because they contain blood, and as we learned earlier in the Masechta, there are various blood vessels that have to be cut, open before you're going to roast or salt the meat, because otherwise the roasting or the salting will get out the blood that's in the capillaries, the blood that's embedded. In the muscles, but it's not gonna get the blood that's in large blood vessels like that, where it's easily, where it's collected at a pool over there. So for that you need to actually cut them open. So now, Abba says in the name of Rav Huna, in the name of Rab, that because those are also b'chol koyin she'eni yodei liplon, so he says any koyin who does not know how to take those out of the drawer, ein noisim lematana, we should not give him that matana, we should not give him that drawer, because then he may eat it, or he may not do that, he may not open up the blood vessels correctly, and then he's going to end up eating blood. But again, the Gemara says, v'loyi, it's not so, because there's not such a problem with it. Ibitavia, if you're talking about that he's going to roast it, made of divy, then it's fine. It'll flow out. You don't really need to cut them open before you roast the meat, because there are very large blood vessels that we've learned before that do have to be cut open before you roast the meat. But here you're talking about these are not such large ones, so therefore the roasting will take care of it. and and if he cuts them at the ilik dera, and if he's gonna cook it in a pot, also no problem. If he cuts them on the side, it should really be because anyway he's going to be cutting them in order to cook them. When he's going to salt them, so also the blood will flow out. So one way or the other, you don't really have such a problem with it. The Teferes Yaakov explains that we're talking about he himself doesn't know how to take out these things, so sure, he could give it to an expert to kasher the meat for him. But we're saying, first the Gemara had said he shouldn't give him to begin with, but then the Gemara is saying no, because the fact is, it's not even that if he had to talk to bring it to an expert, if there's no way around it, then yes, maybe we shouldn't give it to him because we don't want to, we don't want to accidentally be mashal of him, but given that, there's no problem mishal anyway, because whether he roasts it or whether he cooks it, realistically, it is going to get cut open, or the blood is going to flow out anyway, then there's really not a problem with it. Okay. Further about the matanis, Omar Rava, Bodik Lan Rav Yosef. So Rava says that Rav Yosef tested us and asked us as follows. So on the side view, it says that Hagoyis Habach changes that to not Rava, but Rabba. We're going to discuss soon which one of them was a Koyan, Rava or Rabba. So here in the front of us, we have Rava, but we're going to talk about, it may be Rabba, because we're going to talk about soon which one of them was a Koyan. Anyway, Bodek Lan Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef tested us with the following question. Hai Kahana the Chotif Matnasa. If the Kohen grabs the Matnas Kohona, we talked about yesterday, for example, we had a Levi who grabbed them from kids who were bringing them to the Kohenim, and now Rashi says in a similar sense, means that kids are bringing them from their parents to the Kohenim, and a Kohen himself goes and grabs them. And we talked about previously, and Sam Sofer explains, that the idea is, because if an adult is carrying them, then of course there's no question you're not allowed to grab them. That would actually, if nothing else, as we learned yesterday, you have Tov Asana, the owner of the meat can decide which Kohen he wants to get it. So certainly a Kohen is not allowed, a different Kohen is not allowed to unilaterally grab it for himself. But we're talking about when it's sent with kids, they don't really have such a kinyan on it, and therefore the Chassam Sofer explains on various grounds, so it wouldn't actually be stealing. But the question is there any other problem with it? So the question is, Chabuvi Kamachaber Mitzvah, would we say that he's showing his love for the mitzvah and therefore he's doing right by grabbing them? Or on the contrary, is he treating the mitzvah with disrespect as though he just wants to grab some meat for himself? So that was Rav Yosef's question. And so Rava says, we answered him based on the based on the pasuk when it says the nosan he should give, which means that implies the kohen should not take it on his own. So no, he should not be grabbing it. So the Gemara says, Omar Abaya. So Abaya says in this connection, Abaya was a Kohen. So he says, Meresh habachotif namatnasa. I used to grab the matonis, Amina, because I thought, like one of Rabbi Yosef's possibilities, chabuvi kamachabi mim mitzvah. I thought it's showing a love for the mitzvah, that I want the mitzvah as fast as possible, and therefore I would grab it. Kibin the Shemayin Elohah, but once I heard the statement of Rava or Rabbas, the Nosan, the Loisha Yitoma Atzmai, where it says the Nosan, he should give, that the owner should give, and not that the Kohen should take it himself. So now I realize that I shouldn't do that anymore, Michtaf Loisatifna, so I wouldn't grab the Matnas Kohuna anymore. However, Memo Amri Hovuli, but I would tell the people, give me the Matana, I would ask them to give me the Matnas Kohuna. I thought, Rashi says, at least that is Chibuv Mitzvah, at least that shows that I hold the mitzvah very dear. I don't just want to be that the mitzvah should be ignored, that I actually wanted to add, that I asked them explicitly that they should give it to me. So he went through two stages so far. First, he would grab them. Now he realized he shouldn't grab them, but he should ask for them. But then he continues, "V'kiven d'shmaina lahadatanya." But now, later on, I heard what it says in a braisa as follows. The pasuk describes about the sons of Shmuel. Shmuel himself, the famous Navi, was a Levi, and the pasuk describes how when he was getting old and had a hard time traveling around anymore to judge the Jewish people, people and teach them and everything. So he set up his sons as judges. Unfortunately, the Pasuk says they didn't follow in his ways. Vayitu achrei abotzar. The Pasuk says they inclined after dishonest gain. Now, if you learn the pshat, if you learn the pasuk in pshat, it would mean they actually took bribes. However, Chazal tell us it's not so. It's that what it is one answer. There's a few different explanations what they did wrong, but one of them is Remeir Omer Bnei Shmuel Chelkim Shalom Ufiyim. Remeir says it means these sons of Shmuel who are Levim, they would ask for their portion, the Ma'aser Rishon, verbally. So in other words, they shouldn't be doing that. They should, if the people give them my solution, then good. But if not, they shouldn't be asking for it. It's not respectful. So it shows like as if they're treating the mitzvah as just a way of monetary gain, and therefore that's wrong. And therefore the pasuk calls it by yitu achrei abotzar. The pasuk makes it sound as though they were actually getting ill-gotten gains. Anyway, so there's a few different opinions in the Sefer Shabbos what they did wrong, but that's one of them. The point is, Abaya says we see from that therefore. Therefore, so a Levi and the same thing a Kohen shouldn't actually be asking for his matanis. So therefore, Rabbi says, "Meimu nami v'yamina." So now I don't even ask anymore. There's an interesting vote from the Me'ashi Loyach, from the Ishbitzer, who says on this, so why is Abaya telling us all of this? He wants to tell us, as soon as he realized that what he had done previously was wrong, then he didn't hesitate for a moment, because right away the whole thing was always L'shem Shemayim, so he thought originally it's L'shem Shemayim, so originally when he was grabbing it, there's no possibility that there was even any trace of self-interest in it. If there was, then when he heard he shouldn't be grabbing it, he would have thought to himself, he would have tried to rationalize to himself, yeah, but maybe I still should. But no, because he was doing purely L'shem Shemayim, then therefore now he immediately gave that up as soon as he realized it's not what Hashem wants. And the same thing asking for it, as soon as he realized it's not what Hashem wants, based on this Raisa, then immediately he stopped asking, even though there might have been some self-interest involved in continuing to ask for it, because the fact is there was no self-interest in the first place. He was doing it all L'shem Shemayim. Anyway, so he says, Iyavu Lishakilna, V'Iyavu Lishakilna, but if they gave me, then I would take it. So I don't grab it anymore. I don't ask for it, but if they volunteer to give it to me, then I would take it. Kibin Shmaya Lahodatanya, but now I heard yet another Braisa, where it says about the Lacham Aponim. So it describes how originally in earlier times and up until Shimon HaTzadik passed away a couple of decades into the second Mishmash, the Gemara describes in Yoma how there was a tremendous bracha in the Lacham Aponim, where even though there were many, many Koyanim, and each one would get only a tiny piece of the Lacham Aponim, Hashem would give them a bracha and they would feel full from it. But now the Braisa goes on to say, after Shimon HaTzadik passed away, then there's not such a bracha in it anymore, and therefore if a person gets a small piece, they're anyway not going to be satisfied from it. So the Braisa says that tznuim moshkin asidayim. So the tznuim, the shyer people, the ones who are more respectful, they would hold their hands back. They're not going to take, because look, they're not going to be mekayim the mitzvah anyway, because they're not having a kazayis, and they're not going to push their way forward in order to grab when anyway there's so little for other people. V'agagronim, on the other hand, the gluttons, chokim, they would divide up the lacham upon him. So in other words, the gagronim would push their way forward and take as much as they could of the lacham upon him, and they would eat it. So we see, in other words, that the better thing is to be like the tsnuim, be like the shy, retiring koyanim, who are not going to push their way forward, and they're not going to try to get the matnas kohuna, in that case, the lacham upon him. So, Abaya says, Mishkal Nami Lo Shakilna. Well, by the same token, then now I don't take the matonis anymore, even if someone offers, because I don't want to be considered a gargadon. I don't want to. There might be somebody who needs it more than me. Now, Tosfos points out, Abaya was by no means rich either. We have other Gemaras where it turns out that Abaya was actually pretty hard-pressed himself financially. Nevertheless, he's staying still. There could be somebody who needs it more than me, and therefore I don't want to take. But what do? Levami mala yom kippur, with the exception, says Abaya, of erev yom kippur. Then I do take the matonis lachzuki nafshoi bekami in order to show the chazaka that I am a koyin. If I don't do that, then people are going to think I'm not a koyin. In particular, we learned to in the Masechta that erev yom kippur people would shecht a lot of animals and eat a lot of meat, because you have to have for the suddah on erev yom kippur. So therefore, particularly that day, there would be a lot of zroi l'chayim bekevas available. And therefore, so Tosfos points out, so if he didn't take Matnas Kohuna on that day, people would think he's Bechlal not a Kohen. Now, they ask about why couldn't he Duchen? Why couldn't he Duchen? So one point is because he was usually busy teaching this Talmidim Torah, and we find, based on other Gemaras, he didn't always manage to make it to Shul at the time of the Minyan. So that's one reason. Although the Goyim bring also that he had stomach problems, and therefore he wasn't able to Duchen, at least not very often. So therefore, so his way of demonstrating, he's like, now you could also say, what about if you get the Kohen Aliyah? Technically, the first Aliyah, even though nowadays, universally, we give it to the Kohen when there's a Kohen around, the Gemara tells us elsewhere, in principle, it's not supposed to be so, it should actually go to the greatest local Talmud Chacham. The Gemara gives an example that Rav Huna would regularly get the Kohen Aliyah, even though he's not a Kohen. So therefore, Sabaya couldn't use the fact that he's getting the Kohen Aliyah either, so therefore we have to resort to this, that he's getting Zoyel Chayayim Makeba. Otherwise, people would altogether forget that he's a Kohen. That's the Gemara asks, actually. The Valikris Yodeh, the Gemara asks, why didn't you Duchen? And the answer is, Ansile Idne. The answer is because he's busy with his time, he's busy looting with his Talmidim at the time of the Minyan, and therefore he can't Duchen, and the Goyim give a different explanation, that it means also that he often had stomach problems and then would have to go to the bathroom, and therefore again, he couldn't necessarily guarantee that he's going to be able to Duchen at any given time. This that when it came to the Lacham Aponim, for example, it would be better to be among the Kohanim who don't push their way forward, so the post can bring based on this, that it shows in a similar vein, you shouldn't fight over any kind of mitzvah, as we have that example. So one example of that, for example, is somebody pushing his way in to be the chazan. So it's not the right thing to do, and we have many, many other examples of that in halacha, where even though you have an important mitzvah that has to be done, a person still has to do it with a derech eretz and not be like these gargaronim who are pushing their way forward to get the lacham upon him. So the Gemara continues. Om Rabbi Yosef, Hai Kahana, the Islik, Surahim Rabbanon Beshivavose. If a Kohen has a young Talmud Chacham living in his neighborhood, Udchikale Milsa, and that young Talmud Chacham is having a hard time making a living. So now, suppose the Kohen wants to give that young Talmud Chacham a gift. What can he do? Lizaki le matnasa, he can be mizaka to him. He's not his matonis. The zroil chayim bekeva, he can tell him, he can tell this Talmud Chacham, you're entitled to collect instead of me. You can collect the Zoroi L'chayayim B'keva from people in the city on behalf of me, and then you can eat them. So we learned yesterday, we talked about that there was some Amoroyim who would take it on behalf of their wives. That's something else. But he was saying, doesn't even have to be his wife. It can be a neighbor, and he can give him permission to collect Zoroi L'chayayim B'keva as his shliach, basically. And that can be done even if the particular Zroi L'chayim V'keva have not come to the Kohen yet, he's already able to tell the Talmud Chacham that you can get it in advance, that you can get it. Now, why is that? Or a person can't be makna something that he doesn't own yet? Because Machore Kohono Olavia. Because specifically we're talking about over here, where this is, we touched on this point yesterday, where this is a Kohen, or in other cases we have Levim, who are well known in town, and people regularly give him their matonis, so now we're saying he can be mezakah them to somebody else. Because he's fairly well guaranteed that he's going to be getting everybody's Zroi L'chayayim B'keva, and therefore he's able to be mezakah them in advance to the Talmud Chacham. So here Rashi just says, in other words, everybody in town likes him, and they give him their matnas kohuna. Elsewhere, Rashi explains, the point is, because of that, so the other kohenim like kind of give up. They figure we don't have a chance at it because this guy is so well liked. So therefore, in effect, they become his property, and therefore, and in other words, in effect, what it is the rest of them are being masquerade, they're miyayish on it, and therefore he has the ability to give it to somebody else. Another point is, Tosfos elsewhere makes a point that the reason is because then it's considered, when he regularly gives it to him, it can be considered as though the Yisrael promised to give it to him. So therefore, now technically a promise is not, no, promise, a statement like that is not necessarily, when it comes to dinim mamonos, if there's no actual kinyan, they're not necessarily binding. The Gemara does say that if a person is going to give somebody matanu muetas, a small gift, then he has to fulfill it, then he has to keep his word, and here, this is considered a small gift, and therefore we're going to hold him to his word, and therefore the kohen, to the extent we can consider, we can't say if he does end up giving it to another kohen, we can't say that he's stealing from the first kohen, but we can say at least that because, therefore, the first kohen has enough of a chazaka, where now he can transfer that in advance to the poor Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara tells in this connection, Rava and Rav Safra iklu lebein mal yuchna breder Rav Chana ba'ada. Rava and Rav Safra one time visited the house of mal yuchna, the son of Rav Chana ba'ada. The amila, others say lebein mal yuchna breder Rav Chana ba'bizna. Others say it was mal yuchna, the son of Rav Chana ba'bizna. So in other words, either way, the host was mal yuchna. His father was Rav Chana, but who was his grandfather was either other or bizna. Anyway, whoever the host was, he made for them a third calf. This expression, a third calf, is found in many places in Shas. It means one that was born third, where then it's considered the best quality, it's where it's one third of its growth. There's a number of different meanings what eglotilsa is, but whatever the case, it means a very high quality, he shechted for them, a very high quality animal. Omalei Rava L'shamei. Now Rava says to his shamash, who was a kohen. So the kohen is going to be receiving the matnas kohuna. So Rava tells him, Zaki lon matnosa, be mizaka to me these matonis. I want to be able to get these matonis from you. I want to be able to eat tongue and mustard, which, as we said before, is the preferred way to eat the matnas kohuna, and it's considered b'chlal a very important way of eating, as we have. For example, we have when Avraham served the guests, we know he shechted for them three calves, and why? Because there were three men, and he wanted to serve each of them a tongue with mustard. So we see, so Rava says, I want to do the same thing. Now, what? Now, Rashi explains over here that Rava himself was a Kohen. However, Rava was saying that did not want to take it on his own. He couldn't take it on his own because, again, Benosan. He didn't want to say, because, again, we said that the sons of Shmuel did that and that was no good. So now what he wanted to do is that he's going to take them on behalf of a Kohen. Because, just like Rabbi Yosef had said, that the Kohen can be mizakeh to a Talmud Chacham, so Rava wanted to take advantage of the same thing. That's a point of Rashi. Tosfos actually says that no, this is Rava was not a Kohen. Rabba was a Kohen. Rabba was actually Abaya's uncle, and we said before Abaya was a Kohen, and so was Rabba. He was his father's brother. But Rava, Tosfos says, was not a Kohen. Well, therefore, he wouldn't be entitled to the Matnas Kohuna himself. But he's saying to his shamash that I want to be zoicha in them from you. I want you to give them to me. How in that case, if he's Yisrael, he's allowed to have a shamash or a koyin, there's dinim about you're not allowed to have a koyin do work for you, that's a whole nother question, and there's a bit of discussion about that. In any case, the point is, so again, according to Rashi, Rava could have gotten them himself, but he didn't, the owner wasn't giving it to him, and he didn't want to ask for it directly, so therefore he asked his shamash, and according to Tosfos, he's b'chlal not a koyin. Rashi himself, actually, during a shas, Rabbi Akiva Eger, points out that Rashi himself, in a different Gemara, actually says, on the contrary, Rava was not a Kohen, Rava was. So it seems that Rashi seems to be contradicting himself between here and there, whether Rava was a Kohen or not. In any case, so he says to his shamash, I want you to give me the Matnas Kohuna. Okay, Zaki Le, so the guy gave Rava the Matanis. Rava Ochal. So now, Rava ate Rav Safra Le Ochal, but Rav Safra Le Ochal. However, Rav Safra did not eat from it because he figured the Kohen had not actually been Zoicha in them yet. When the Shamash said, I'm going to give it to you, he didn't have it in his possession yet, and he didn't hold that it's valid, therefore, for the Kohen to be able to transfer ownership of it to them. That night, Akriyula, Rav Safra Bechelma, that night Rav Safra was read the following pasuk in a dream, a pasuk from Mishlei. Mada beged b'yom kara, like worn out clothing on a cold day, which doesn't really do much good. There are other mafoshim on the pasuk explains that mada beged means nice clothing, but either way, the point is, that during the winter, you don't need worn out clothing and you don't need nice, fancy, expensive clothing. You need practical clothing to protect you from the cold. So it doesn't do any, so this mada beged doesn't do any good b'yom kara on a cold day. Choymetz al noser, similarly, and he pours vinegar on nester. Nester is a mineral, it's called nitre in English. They could make kalium out of it, but if it, but they dissolve in vinegar. So if you take a, such a kalium and you pour vinegar into it, then that's it. You have no more kalium. So therefore, so Shlomo in this pasuk is describing two different things that are useless and even harmful. To wear worn out clothing on a cold day, which then you're cold, and then it doesn't do any good to protect you, or like pouring vinegar on this nasir. So he said the same thing. The shur bashirim alevra is the same thing, singing songs to someone with a bad heart. And we're understanding the songs to mean the Torah means speaking divrei Torah to somebody who has a bad heart and doesn't bother understanding them. So it sounds like a very negative pasuk. And why is it Safra being shown that in a dream? It sounds like maybe he did something wrong. Also Kameh to Rabbi Yosef. So the next day, Rabbi Safra comes to Rabbi Yosef. Omaleh, and he asks him, Dumum Shum de Avi Ashmaita Demar, is it maybe because I was over on what you said about a Kohen being able to be Mazaka to a Talmud Chacham? Maybe because of that Akleon Hafi, maybe that's why I was read this Pasuk in my dream. So in other words, maybe the dream was coming to tell me that I did wrong and I should have relied on your statement. Now of course, if the Shamash had actually received the Ma'as Kahuna and then given it to them and then he's mezakeh to them voluntarily, then of course he could do that. But here we're talking about, again, where it was before the Kohen had even received them, and Rava tells him, I want you to be mezakeh them to me. So now Rav Safra is saying, I didn't want to eat from it, but maybe I was wrong in that, because after all, Rav Yosef had said it is possible to do that. So Rav Yosef says, on the contrary, ki amri ana, you know what, when I said that it's allowed, ba'acher is talking about when it's another, when it's somebody else, somebody who the Kohen is not beholden to. Like over here, this is Rav's Shamash. So when it's a third party where he has no particular obligation to him, but then fine. Shama bal kocha mizake, but when it comes to the Shamash, he's doing it basically bal kocha. Rav is his boss. So when Rav tells him, give it, when Rava tells him, be mezakeh to me, it's like he's being forced into it. And the chi amri anola mandala efshalei. Furthermore, says Rabbi Yosef, I was talking about somebody who can't manage otherwise, like the poor Talmud Chacham of Rabbi Yosef's statement. Ha efshalei, but Rava is not poor. He shouldn't be taking them. He should have been leaving it for the Shamash to take. So therefore, so no, on the contrary, so Rabbi Yosef says to Rav Safra, you did nothing wrong, you realize that my statement in halacha does not apply to this case. So Rav Safra says, well, my time are akri and hafi. Well, then why was I read that pasuk in the dream, which seems to imply that I have a lev ra, that I have a bad heart that doesn't bother to understand Torah. So Rava answers, Rabbi Yosef answers in klape Rava. It wasn't meant for you, it was actually a message for Rava. Because he acted improperly by extending Rabbi Yosef's din too far. So Rav Safra says, Velikri on the Rava. Well, then why wasn't the dream? Why didn't Rava have this dream? Why was it given to me? And Rabbi Yosef answers, Rava nozel chava. Precisely because Rava was under a rebuke, min hashamayim, because of this, because he acted improperly, so therefore he wasn't shown this message, he wasn't shown this dream on his own, and therefore, so Rashi actually gives two explanations. One is you have a story in the Sefer Tainis where one time the queen mother, the mother of Shadra Malka, demanded of him to daven for rain because of a certain thing that describes over there. But it was during the summertime when in Eretz Yisrael and in Babel it normally doesn't rain, and nevertheless you rather daven and rain came. So Rashi says Rashi's first explanation is that that he was told that night his father came to him in a dream and told him you shouldn't have done that. Now the based in Shomayla is upset with you for causing Hashem to do something to do a nest unnecessarily. And in fact, he found afterwards he was attacked. He was threatened by Shadim. So therefore, according to that, Rashi's first explanation is that then that's the point. So now, because of that, there was a period of time when Rava was in a state of nizifa, in a state of being rebuked, min hashamayim, and where malachim are out to get him, and therefore Rabbi Yosef is saying now, therefore he didn't have this dream either to tell him that he'd applied the halacha wrongly over here. That's Rashi's first explanation. However, Rashi gives a second explanation, which he prefers, this particular story. Never mind any other story. This particular story, Rava misapplied the halacha, and therefore Rabbi Yosef is saying now min hashamayim, they're upset with Rava, and therefore he wasn't shown this dream himself. Instead, you, Rav Safra, were shown it, where you should tell Rava. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Abaye l'Rabdini, or Pashtei Dekru b'Mai Tzil." What is the actual simple meaning of this pasuk talking about? Meaning, the whole Sefer Mishlei is, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, is Mishalim. It's parables. So it's different examples from life that Shlomo gives us to understand things in Torah better. So what particular example, what particular concept in Torah is Shlomo actually telling us with this pasuk? This part about the worn out clothing, about pouring vinegar on niter, etc. So Amalei, so he tells him b'shoyin of a talmud she'ein ha'ogrim. It actually refers to someone who teaches Torah to a talmud of improper behavior. So that's called now the shor bashirim. Like he sings the song of Torah al lev ra to somebody who has a bad heart, somebody who doesn't have good midas, and you're teaching him Torah, so that's no good. As Rambam describes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, you have to first get him to do tshuva, you have to first get him to behave properly, and then you can bring him into the Beis Medrash and start teaching him Torah. The Alter Rebbe does add, though, that look, if it really is impossible to do otherwise, if you can't really get him to change his midas soon enough, and he really does desperately want to learn, then fine, you have to do smil derchavim in mekarevet. You want to be careful. Don't push him away completely. Not like Yeshua ben Prachya, pushing away Oser Ish, which had terrible effects for throughout the rest of history, but rather be careful. You know, you do have to be careful to keep him at arm's length because of his bad midas, but on the other hand, the Alter Rebbe says still teach him Torah. But the point is, here we're saying, where you have the ability to get him to do tshuva and to have midas service, and you ignore that, and you teach him Torah anyway, so then Shlomo is comparing that to these useless things where then, in other words, not only useless, but counterproductive. So the Alter Rebbe goes on to say, in other words, that to look, you know, after all, the teacher is always going to have the suffix. What if he's not going to accomplish that? But the Talmud has to try to force his way in and try to insist that he's going to learn Torah over there. And look, the Rebbe also, if he can, for example, get him to behave precisely by telling him, I'm not admitting you as a Talmud until you shape up, then that's one thing. But if he can, so in other words, it has to be on a case by case basis. Okay, anyway, so a person teaches a Talmud Sheina Hogan. Do Amr of Yehuda Amr Rav, call a Shona of a Talmud Sheina Hogan. A person teaches Torah to a Talmud of bad behavior, notable with Gehenim, and that teacher winds up falling into Gehenim. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Kol Choshech Tomun Litzpunav. Now, it doesn't maybe necessarily mean literally that he falls into Gehenna, and then the Iri explains, just means, in other words, it's a terrible gnai for him, it's a terrible shame for him. Other people are going to see how badly that Talmud is acting, and they're going to think that the Rebbe himself is also a no-goodnik, and then they're going to think that he belongs in Gehenna. So he explains that's what it means. Anyway, Shenema, the Pasuk says, Kol Choshech Tomun Litzpunav. All darkness is hidden, is concealed for his hidden ones, the darkness of Gehenna, in other words, to achleu esh lo nupach, a fire that does not need to be blown on to enlarge him, to make the fire bigger and stronger, is going to consume him, meaning the fire of Gehenna. Yera sorid ba'aloi, it's bad, the sorid in his tent. Sorid literally means the remainder. The remnant. They ain't sorted. El Tamad Chacham. The word sorted refers to a Tamad Chacham. So he was saying, Yera sorted. There's a bad sorted. There's a bad Talmud in his tent. And therefore, it was saying that he's going to have the darkness and the fire of Gehenna. So how do we know? They ain't sorted. El Tamad Chacham. The word sorted, a remnant, means the Tamad Chacham. Shenemo, Vasridim, Asher Hashem Kored. As the Pasuk says, to the remnants to whom Hashem calls, which refers to the Tamad Chachamim, to whom Hashem calls through the learning Torah. So we see, in other words, you can't have Yera sorted Ba'ala, you can't have a bad sorted, a bad Tamad Chacham, a bad Talmud in your tent. Maharsha learns a little differently. Maharsha says the point is that the sorted refers to the Rebbe. So he has to make sure that there's no Yerav, there's no bad in the sorted. Has to make sure there's no Yerav, there's no bad in his tent, meaning where he's teaching Torah. So he has to make sure those Talmidim are Erlach for people and don't have bad midas. One reason why Talmud Chacham are called Sridim, the remnants, is because, you know, in the first generation of our history as a nation, we lived the 40 years in Midbar, and everybody was learning Torah full time, because what else did they have to do in the desert? They had no fields and farms or businesses or anything like that to learn. So everybody was learning Torah full time. In later times, we don't have that. In later times, most of us have to work for a living. So the ones who are Talmud Chachamim are like the remnants of that original, of that glorious time in our history.
Okay. The Gemara continues, Amar Zera, Amar Rab, Kol HaShon of the Talmud She'en Hogun, a person who teaches Torah to an improper Talmud, to a badly behaved Talmud, to Zodok Evan the Merkulis. It's like throwing a stone to the Merkulis idol. We find in different places in Chas, Merkulis was an idol that they would worship by throwing stones at it. So what does it mean? Marshall explains two things. First of all, Torah is compared to precious stones. So he was taking the precious stones of Torah and wasting them on a Talmud chain of Hogun, so it's as if like he's taking those stones and throwing them at Merkulis. Second of all, a person throws stones at Merkulis, he's apt to think to himself, what's wrong with that? I'm mocking the Avodah Zarah, I'm throwing rocks at it. But that turns out to be how he worships it. In the same way, in other words, when he's teaching this Talmud, there's no good Talmud, and then it comes out he thinks he's doing a mitzvah and really he's doing an Avodah. Shenema, as the pasuk says, another pasuk in Mishlei, Kitzur Evan B'Malgema, like a collection of stones, like a collection of stones in a catapult. Kain Nosim, still covered. So it is when a person gives honor to a fool. So the honor of ain't covered. Ela Torah. The word honor over here refers to Torah. Shenema covered Chachamim. Shenema covered Chachamim. This is actually it says on the side. Over here, it doesn't say this in the actual printed Gemara. But ain't covered Ela Torah. But it says on the side, the covered is only Torah. Shenema covered Chachamim Yinchalu. As the pasuk says, the Chachamim will inherit covered or Smimim Yinchalu Torah. And the perfect, the wholesome will inherit the good of Torah. So we see therefore the pasuk is saying, like stones that are being catapulted, like a person catapults stones at Merkulis, so as if he gives the covered of Torah to a fool, to a foolish Talmud who doesn't have good midas. And the Gemara continues, again with a piece on the side. Amar Rav Chama bar Hanina, Kol Ha'oseh Tovah L'Mishe Eino Yoda. Somebody who does a favor for somebody who doesn't know and doesn't recognize the goodness of it and is ungrateful is also Kilu Zodok Evan L'Merkulis. It's also like he's throwing a rock at Merkulis. Shenema Kitzro Evan L'Gomer same Pasuk. Ochtiv L'Novel Achsil Tanu. And another Pasuk says that pleasure is not appropriate for Achsil. So we see in other words, don't give him pleasure because he anyway doesn't recognize it and he's anyway going to be ungrateful. And in other words, in a way, that kind of makes things worse. It's an important thing. One of the most basic midas is Akoras HaTov. So then, if you're giving him the opportunity to not have Akoras HaTov, then that's even worse, and that's even counterproductive. And in a certain sense, then it's the same thing as far as teaching him Torah when he's in Talmud Shein Hogun. Again, the point is he's going to take that Torah and misuse it, and therefore we're saying it's no good. So that's what we're saying. That's the more the shaft of the pasuk. That is what the pasuk that we said before about the worn out clothing and the vinegar and so forth and about shor bashirim al levra singing songs to a person with a bad heart, a bad heart or a bad mind. So we're saying that on one level it refers to, as we said before, it was somebody like Rava who misapplied a halacha, but we're saying more generally it refers more on a pshat level, it refers to a Talmud Shein Hogun, a Talmud of bad behavior who still you try to teach him Torah and it comes out and it ends up being counterproductive. Getting back now to the matter of Zuri L'Chayayim V'Kei, where the Gemara says, we learned in the Mishnah, we said that if a person shechts an animal on behalf of a Koyan or on behalf of a Goy, then he's potter from the Matonis, and we said, if he has a partnership with a Koyan or with a Goy, sort of lushon, then he has to make a mark on the meat so that people will recognize why people are going to wonder why he's not giving matonis from this one. So he has to make some kind of mark, which as we learned yesterday is sometimes something noticeable, something which was commonly known that this represents that this meat is potter from matonis. As we learned yesterday, now if you have a butcher shop and a koyan is a partner in it, then that's different. Then the koyan does have to actually give the zeror l'chayayim v'kei to other koyanim. But here we're talking about where Yisrael as a one-off is shefting on behalf of a koyan. Or he has a partnership with him and as a one-off thing on this animal, so then he marks it. So the Gemara says, Rafilu im Eruk Kachavim. So you're telling me he needs to make such a mark even if his partner is a Goy? Or a Minu, but I have a contradiction because the Braisa says, Meshtatav im Koyin Sarach Lushan. If he has a partnership with a Koyin, then he does need to. Then he does need to make this mark, because not everybody is going to realize that he's potter from Matnas Korna. But I'm a shtater from Ovid Kislavim. But if he's partnering with a goy, or if the animal in question is psulei hamakdashin, which was a korban, and as we learned in the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak, it was supposed to be a korban, and then it developed a mum, and then he redeemed it from hektish, and now he's shechting it. And as we learned in the Mishnah, that's potter from Matanis. So that
So those cases, in Tzorach Lushim, you don't have to mark anything. So here the Braisa is saying that if you're partnering with a goy in the animal, then you don't have to mark it, whereas the Mishnah had said that you did. And the answer is, the Gemara says, Hoch Maiskin and Yosef Ovid Kochav Mamasata. Because the case we're talking about, the Braisa is saying, is where the goy is sitting in the butcher shop, and therefore everybody can see that he has a partnership in it, and therefore there's no need to make a mark, because it's quite obvious. So the Gemara says, Kabasel Gamu Koyin, the Yosef Mamasata. Okay, then the parallel with the Koyin would also have to be that he's sitting in the butcher shop. So I might sort of solution. Well, then why would he have to mark it then? So it's obvious that the Koyin is a partner in it. And the answer is Dami Gistra Kazovin, because when people see the Koyan sitting over there, they don't know that he's a partner in this animal. They're going to think that he's sitting over there because he's there to buy meat. He's one of the customers. So the Gemara says Yehochi Oyvikuchal Nami Ami Gistra Kazovin new, and with a goy they won't think he's one of the customers. So that doesn't work. So the Gemara says fine. Ella, let's give a different answer. If the goy is sitting not just in the store, but he's sitting by the money box, where he's sitting by the money box or the cash register, so then it's very clear that he's a partner over here. The Gemara says, okay, again, go back. Fine, by the koyin it would also mean that he's sitting by the money box. So in modern Hebrew, by the way, they use the word kasefet, which is derived from this word kasposa. And the Gemara over here, kasposa just means money box. In modern Hebrew, they use that. They created the word kasefet, kof samach pei tuf, to mean a safe where you keep money. Anyway, so here, by the Koyan also, it would have to mean that he's sitting by the money box. Again, a might sort of solution. So why is the Braisa saying that you would have to make a mark? It must be the Amri. It must be Amri Hemunehene. Must be people are going to say he trusted him to watch the money for him. Well, won't they say the same thing by a goy? So why is there the difference that if a koyan is sitting there by the money box and taking the cash and then putting it in the box and watching it, then everybody will know that he's a partner and that this animal is partner for Matas Kohana, but by a goy not? And the answer is in a monobarikov. People don't, Jews don't regularly trust goyim. So therefore it's not likely that people coming into the store and seeing the Zroi L'chayayim V'keva are not being given, they're going to think, well, he must have trusted this goy to watch the money for him. Unfortunately, the goyim back then were not always so trustworthy that people should assume that. The Gemara says he boy same. Or another answer, you can say, fine, maybe people do trust a goy, but it doesn't even have to be that he's sitting by the money box. It could indeed be that he's sitting in the store, like we said before. So the question is, then why wouldn't they think he's one of the customers, unlike the Koyan? The difference is Stama Urkosav and Mifa Poi, because the goy regularly calls out and yells out, don't sell it for this price, sell it for this price. So everybody understands that he's a partner in it. Otherwise, why would he be telling the storekeeper to charge a higher price? As opposed to the koyin is more tsanua, more withdrawn, as we learned on Amud Aleph about the koyin and that with snuim. So therefore, he's more going to rely on the storekeeper, so he may sit there quietly, and not everybody's going to realize that he's a partner. So with the koyin, we have more concern. People are going to think he's one of the customers and not going to realize that he's a partner in the animal. Whereas with a goy, it's not like that. Mifa koy is going to call out. He's going to make it very clear that he's part of the business. The Rambam has a bit of a different understanding of mifa koy, that the goy goes and spreads the news around. He's very talkative and chatty and oversharing, and he's going to inform everybody, hey, I'm a partner with this Jew in this butcher shop. As opposed to a koyin, is not necessarily going to do that. Now, we did learn before, again, that if there's a butcher shop, then even the koyin is required to give the matnas kohuna to others. So the pre-chadash says, first of all, this braisa might be before that takana was made. And second of all, we could be talking about it here before, the 2 or 3 weeks are up, where we said if it's not a permanent butcher shop, and it's only an ad hoc thing for 2 or 3 weeks, we don't require the koyin to do it, and afterwards we do, so we could be talking about during that time. Next, we said, Omamai, we learned in the Braisa, or Psula Amakdoshim ain't sort of pollution. We said when it comes to Psula Amakdoshim, you do not need to make a mark because, again, they're potter from Ma'as Kohuna. The Gemara says, Alma Mukha Milsa. So evidently you see that it's very obvious the way you sell it, that's Psula Amakdoshim, and the reason would be, why would the reason be? Because, presumably, because Psula Amakdoshim cannot be sold in the same way as normal meat.
So they're not sold in the way that cholim meat, and therefore it's obvious it comes from Sulam HaKashim. The problem with that is, V'hanan T'nan, we learn in a Mishnah, in the Sefer B'choros, we'll learn in a few weeks, Be'ez Hashem, Sulam HaKashim in Koran B'itlis, most Sulam HaKashim can be sold in a butcher shop like normal, V'nishchotim B'itlis, they can be shechted in the butcher shop, V'nishcholim B'litra, you can weigh them with a litra measure, as people usually sell meat, the litra is a weight of approximately a pound. So in other words, you can sell them exactly like normal meat. The only exception, the Mishnah says over there, is Bechor and Ma'ir Bechor that developed in Mum, or Ma'ir Sheni that developed in Mum, where there you have special rules, as we will learn about in the Sefer Bechor, that's why they have special rules. Anyway, the point is, Psula HaMakdashin are generally sold the same as normal meat. So how would anybody know the piece of Psula HaMakdashin and know that they're potter from Zerah L'Chayayim B'Keva? And the answer is, Tugum of Rav Adar Bar Abba, Kameder HaPapa, Rav Adar Bar Abba explained in the presence of Rav Papa, that we're talking about Bo'osan and Purim Masechah Bayis, because we're not talking about most Sulam HaKdashin. We, in fact, are talking about Bechor and Ma'aser, where the different, those you cannot sell like normal meat, those you have to sell privately in your house, and you can't weigh it in the normal way, etc. So therefore, so now it's very obvious that they are not holding animals. This is a Bechor or Ma'aser that developed the womb, so therefore you don't need any kind of simon. Regular Sulam HaKdashin, in fact, you would. Now, what's the difference? Why are Bechor and Ma'aser different? Rashi explains like this, based on the Gemara and Bechoros. Most Psula HaMakdashin, the animal originally belonged to Hektish. You bought it back from Hektish because it developed a moon. Now, the Hektish is going to want to get the maximum value out of it when you're paying them the money. And part of the value of an animal is the fact that when you shecht it, you can sell the meat in the normal way. So therefore, it's in Hektish's interest that it should be able to be sold in the normal way so that they can get a higher price for it. If you were told by the Gizba, by the treasurer of the Bris Mikdash, sorry, even once you buy this animal back from Hektish, when you shecht it, you're going to have restrictions on how you can sell it, then the guy's going to say, I can't be bothered then. Or in that case, then I want a discount because it's going to be harder for me to sell the meat. So therefore, so we don't do that, and we allow them to sell it in the regular way. Bechor and Ma'aser, though, they didn't belong to Hektish in the first place. The Bechor belonged to the owner, and he's supposed to be bringing it as a korban. Actually, it belongs to the Kohen, and the Kohen is supposed to be bringing it as a korban. And Ma'aser is also supposed to be brought as a korban, only because they developed a mum, is it not? But they didn't actually, the monetary value of them is not going to Hektish. There is actually no monetary value to them anyway. You don't buy the Bechor, you don't buy the Ma'aser, you just, they have a mum. Now you have the mum checked out, and then you shecht it. Therefore, Hektish has no financial gain from you being able to sell it in the normal way, and therefore, we're going to say, out of respect for them, because they were purchasing, then therefore you can't sell them in the normal way, and you can't weigh them in the normal way. So that's the difference. So when the Mishnah said, when the Brai said Psula HaMakdashin, means specifically Bechor and Ma'aser among the Psula HaMakdashin. Okay. The Gemara continues talking more about this matter of partnership with a Koyan. Amar Abuna, Shutuf Barosh, if the Koyan is a partner in the head of the animal, now sometimes, of course, you can be a partner in the entire animal, and you split it 50-50 or whatever between yourselves. Sometimes you can have, for example, the Koyan, let's say, paid you some money, that he says, when you shecht this animal, then I'm entitled to a portion of the head. So now, if he's a partner in the head, potum and alechi, then the Yisrael does not have to give the lechi, which is part of the head, but he does have to still give the zroya and the keva to that koyin or to another koyin. Shutuf bayad, if the koyin is a partner in the foreleg, potter min hazroya, then the Yisrael is potter from giving the zroya. Shutuf b'nei me'ayin, and if koyin is a partner in the internal organs, potter min hakeva, then the Yisrael is potter only from the keva. So that's what Rav Huna is saying. In other words, so not necessarily, unless if the Kohen is a partner in the entire animal, then you're potter from all the Matnas Kohuna, but if he's a partner only in one of these specific parts, then no, you're only potter from that, you're potter only from that part. The Chia Bar Rav Oma, on the other hand, Chia Bar Rav says, no, I feel the Shutuf B'Achas Mehen, even if the Kohen is a partner in only one of them, potter Mikulam, the Yisrael is potter from giving all the Matnas Kohuna. So the Gemara says, Mesi, I have a contradiction, I'm Chia Bar Rav. A Braisa says, Harosh Shali v'chula shalcha, suppose that the Koyan is selling an animal to the Yisrael, and he tells him, Harosh Shali, the Koyan says, the head is going to remain mine, I'm not selling that to you, v'chula shalcha, the rest of the animal is yours, meaning when you shech the animal, you're going to give me the head, and you can keep the rest of the meat. or even if it's only 1/100th of the foreleg that belongs to the Kohen Potter, then he's completely Potter. Then he's Potter. Now that would be Potter. It sounds like completely Potter. Or similarly, if the Kohen says all the internal organs are going to remain mine, but the rest of the animal is yours, same thing. Even if it's only 1/100th of the head that he says that I'm keeping, that he's Potter. If he says the hand, the foreleg is going to belong to me and the rest I'm selling to you, even if it's only 1/100th of the hand that he's of the foreleg that he's keeping for himself, also Potter. If he says the intestines, the internal organs should be mine and all of it belongs to you, Potter. Then again, even if he says I'm keeping only 1/100th of them, then he's Potter. So doesn't it sound like it means in each case? It means he's Potter from that particular one that applies to that particular body part, which is like Rav Huna says, and not that he's Potter completely like Chiya Bar Rav says. And Rav says, no, Potter Mekulon. No, the Brayse can equally well mean that he's Potter from all of them. But the Gemara says, then in that case, it should say that he's potter from all of them. Why is the Braisa dividing it into three different things? When it says, even if it's only 1/100th of the head, or even if it's only 1/100th, then he's potter. Even if it's only 1/100th of the foreleg, he's potter. Even if it's only 1/100th of the intestines, he's potter. Why not just say, in each case, potter mikolon, and then he doesn't have to repeat himself. So that's one question. Tanya, and then we learn in yet another braisa. If the Kohen says the head is going to remain mine, but the rest of the animal is going to be yours, even if it's only 1/100th of the head, the second braisa spells it out more clearly. He is potter from lechi, but he is chayiv in the other ones. So like Rav Huna, not like Chiya Bar Rav. So that's a clear contradiction on Chiya Bar Rav. So then what's his point? You're right, that is a contradiction. And the halacha is not like him. The halacha is rather like Rav Huna, that whichever body part you have a partnership with the Kohen, that part is potter, but the rest of it, you'll be potter from that part, but you're chayiv the rest of it. So how did Chiya Bar Rav think in the first place that sort of thing, that they should be potter from all of it because of one part? So the Gemara says, Amrav Chista Hamas Nisa At Isay. At Isay, the Chiya Bar Rav. What happened is Chiya Bar Rav was misled by the following braisa. The Tanya, we learn in a braisa. Eshim Ba'aga Ma'as Kohona Hain. There are 24 Ma'as Kohona. B'chol and Mitnu La'aron Levana B'chlavotra. All of them are given to Aaron and his sons with a chlavotra. Namely, first Torah tells us, and in general, I'm giving you all the, that's actually klal of prata klal, the Maharshal says it's supposed to be, all of them are given with klal of prata klal, the psukim in Parshas Korach, start by saying in general, Hashem says, l'chol kodshim in Israel, I'm giving you all the kodshim of the Jewish people, then it goes and lists them out, and then it finishes off, kol trumas hakodshim. So you have a klal of prata klal showing how important it is that Hashem specified it like that. So in other words, it's not a regular klal of prata klal. We learn extra things from the point is, in other words, it actually explains on the pasuk. It means because this parasha is so precious, it's Hashem telling Aaron once and for all, everybody's going to see how you're the chosen one, you and your descendants are the chosen ones, and there won't be anybody like Korach anymore. So therefore, in token of that, then the Torah tells us in this festive way by giving first a general statement, then going into all the detail, and then finishing off with another general statement. And so you have not only that, and the Braisa says, Ubris Melach, and there's a covenant of salt on them. Salt never spoils, and as the Pasuk says on it right there, Bris Melach Olam, the same way as salt never spoils, the same way these things will never cease. Some of them are suspended as long as we don't have a Bais Mikdash, but they're forever going to be in effect. And the Braisa continues, the Cholam HaKaimon, anybody who fulfills them and gives them Akonis to the Kohenim, Kilokim, Tlal Prat, it will Bris Melach, as if Hashem counts it in his favor, as though he's kept the entire Torah, where we have many things in the Torah, involving Tlal Prat or Tlal, and he upheld the covenant of salt, the korbanos, which are also it says Bris Melach about them. The Chol over Aleh, and somebody who violates them and doesn't give them Matnas Torah, Kilo over Al Klal Prat Val Bris Melach. It's as if he's violating the Klal, as if he's violating the whole Torah, which is given with Klal Prat Klal, and as if he's violating the covenant of salt. The covenant of sort means, it means, among other things, it means, famously, we know that when Hashem split the waters on the second day of creation, then the lower waters, the oceans and the seas complain, we want to be close to Hashem, and one thing Hashem says, that the salt from you will be used for korbanos. That you also have that there's a bris melach on Malchus Beis Dovim, and so forth. So we see bris melach refers to an unbreakable covenant between Hashem as us and us. So again, the point of the pasuk is telling us that because the parasha of Matnas Kehuna involves bris melach and involves Kal the prophet Kal, therefore keeping them is tantamount to keeping the whole Torah, and violating them is tantamount to violating the whole Torah. And the Elohim. So we're going to go through the whole Braisa. Then we're going to say how Chiya Barav misunderstood this Braisa to think that when a person is a partner with a Kohen in one part of the animal, he should be potter from all of it. So we're going to first go through the list. The Elohim, the following are the 24 Matnas Kehuna, Eser B'Mikdash, 10 of them are eaten in the Bismikdash, the Arba B'Yerushalayim, 4 can be eaten in the rest of Yerushalayim, the Eser B'Gbulim, and 10 of them can be eaten or enjoyed anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. The 10 that are in the Bais HaMikdash are as follows. Chatas, first of all, the chatas, the meat of it is given to the Kohanim to eat. The chatas ha'oif, and the chatas ha'oif is also given to the Kohanim. Oshem vadai, the oshem tolui, a definite oshem, we say in morning davening, asham zelus, asham ne'ilus, etc. And oshem tolui, where a person is not certain whether he did something that makes him chayev a chatas. Then he brings an oshem tolu. We're going to learn about both the oshem vada and the oshem tolu. We'll learn about them in Masechta Krisus in a few months. That's the Shem. The zivchei shami tzibur. Then you have the shlomim that are brought by the tzibur on Shavuos together with the shtei alachem. So those are kodshim, and they're given to the kohenim. The loig shem and shamat soda, the loig of oil that comes together with the mitzvahs korbanos. Some of it is sprinkled in the direction of the heichal. Some of it is put on the mitzvahs ear, thumb, toe, and head. And the rest of that the kohenim can eat. The ushtei alachem and the shtei alachem that are brought on Shavuos, the lachem aponim that are brought every Shabbos, ushiori menachos, the leftover of mincha after you take out the koymets, or minchas ha'omer and the omer offering on the second day Pesach. So all of those. And now Rashi points out those are not included in shiori menachos because shiori menachos means individual people's menachos, and here we're talking about menachos of the tzibur, namely, and therefore, and the omer therefore is in a separate category. So all of these things, many of these things are listed explicitly in Parshas Torah. Others of them, now, for example, the one about the loig of oil, Rashi explains that we learn it from a limud in the pasuk. It says l'chol korbanon, and it includes that as well. So all of them says the kodesh kadoshim teflon, we have to eat them in the holy place, meaning in the azara. So those are the 10 that have to be eaten in the azara. Then you have Arba B'Yerushalayim. Then you have 4 that are eaten specifically in, Tosfos points out, by the way, the Shalmei Tzibur are basically, they have basically the same din as an Osham in terms of how the blood is applied to them as there, and in terms of how they're eaten and where they're eaten and so forth. That's what we actually say in Ezor Makoyman and Hudain Dabin, Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur V'Ashomais, they're in the same category. Okay, so those 10 things that we just listed are all eaten in the Azara. Arab of Yerushalayim, then you have 4 that are eaten in Yerushalayim, can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. Habachora, a bechor, the bikurim that the farmers bring from their shivas aminim, or murim minat todah, me'el nazir, and what's taken off of a todah and the ram of a nazir, which is a type of shlomim, where you have the chaz of a shoik, from them, and you also have, from the Torah you also have 4 loaves of bread, and from the ram of the Nazir you have 2 loaves of bread, as we learned all about that in Menachos. So those count as one thing, because those count as one thing. Rashi points out because they have the same basic dinim. So we don't count them as 2 separate things. We count them essentially as one thing. They're both what's taken off of Kodshim Kalim. And in fact, Rashi points out that it really includes the other shlomim as well. We're mentioning the Toda and the El Nozi because you have bread that comes with them as well. But the fact is, from any shlomim, you take the Chos of a Shoy and give it to the Kohen. All that is counted in this category. And then the 4th one is the Oris Kodshim and the skins of Kodshim, that are given to the Kohenim. The ones from Kodshim Kalam are given to the owners, but the ones from Kodshim go to the Kohenim. Now Tosva says, what do you mean? Why are those counted in Yerushalayim? The fact is, the actual skinning of the animal is done in the Azara.
So it should be counted together with the 10 that are in the Bais Hamikdash. Why is it being counted as a separate category? So Rashi in a Gemara in Bava Kamma, where it also brings this list, explains that the reason is because the ones in the Bais Hamikdash means the ones that if you take them out of the Bais Hamikdash, they become posel. These skins, they're skinned in the Azara, but then you can take out the skins and use them wherever you want. So therefore they can't. Therefore they're called v'yerushalayim. Now, on the other hand, Rashi also adds there that they are given, the fact is, they are distributed in Yerushalayim, so therefore they can't be counted among the ones that are B'chol Mokim, where to begin with, they're not even necessarily anywhere near Yerushalayim. These, by definition, being from Korbanos, they're given in Yerushalayim. Rav Levi Yitzchok, the Rebbe's father, has an interesting take on what they would do with these skins. He explains the skins of Kodshe Kodshim they would use to make Tfilim Shor Rosh, and the skins of Kodshim Kalim, when a Kohen would receive them, then they would use to make Tfilim Shor Yah. Okay, now let's continue the list. Esther Begvulim, there are 10 things that are given to the Kohenim all over Eretz Yisrael. Truma, or Trumas Meiser, V'chala, Vereshus Hageiz, the first shearings, which we're going to learn about in the next parak, Umatonis, the Zroi Lachayayim Bekeva of our parak, Opidian Aben, Opidian Petach Hamor, when you redeem a Petach Hamor for a sheep, as we're going to learn about in the second Bechoras Ves Hashem, so you give the sheep to the Kohen, Usdeachoza, an ancestral field, the Torah describes in Parshas B'chol Kosai, if a person has a field that he inherited in Eretz Yisrael from his ancestors, and he is makdish it, so if he doesn't buy it back from Hekdish before Yovel, and if the gizbar, the treasurer, sells it to somebody else, so when it comes Yovel, on Yom Kippur of Yovel, then it goes to the Kohenim of the Mishmar that are on duty, so that's one of the Matnas Kohenim, or Sdei Charomim, a person who is makdish his field, calling it Cherem, which we'll learn about in the Sefer Tmura Vestish, in the Sefer Erchin, we'll talk about the dinim of Cherem Vestish. And the last one, the Gezel Ager, a person stole from a Ger. So then, as we talked about a few days ago, so then you have if he swore falsely, and now the Ger that he doesn't owe the money, and now the Ger died without heirs, so he's not considered related to his Goyish family, and if he doesn't have any children, then there's nobody to inherit him. So then we said that money that he pays for it goes to the Kohen. So those are the 24 Maaskel. Rashi in Bava Kamma points out, even though it's given to the Kohenim who are in the Mishmar on duty, and on the face of it, that means it's in the Bais Hamikdash, the fact is, he can give it to a Kohen from that Mishmar anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it can be counted as one of the Matanis in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so thus far the Braisa. Interestingly, when the Rambam brings this in Hilchos Bikurim, he divides them up differently. He includes together. He separates out some of the ones that are connected together over here in the Braisa and vice versa. And he comes out instead. He lists them as 8, 5, and 8. Anyway, so now that Rechista brought this Braisa, so what happened? Who saw her? Here by Rav thought. Since the Braisa had listed Zeroy Lachayim Vakeva, all as one Matana, Chodinu, so he thought it's all one thing, and therefore, as we said, if he's a partner with a coin in any one part of the animal, then he's Potter from all of it. But the Loyi, but it's not so. But after all, consider Otum Muram Mitoida Ve'el Nozer, the Kachoshavu Kachoda. Are you going to say that, for example, what's taken from a nut, from a Toida, or the ram of a Nozer, the Chos of a Shoik, and in the case of the ram and the Nozer, also the foreleg, and some of the Chalas, to Kachoshavu Kachoda, the Braise is listing those all as one thing. Are you going to say Mishum de Choda Ninu? It's only one thing? Of course not. They're separate Korbanos. Since they resemble one another, they're all kodshim kalim, and they all have basically the same dinim, therefore the Tana considers them as one. Hochanami, the same thing, since they resemble one another, they're all part of the same kind of thing, therefore they're counted as together, but they're all called matonis in general, but it doesn't mean that in fact if a person is potter from one of them, he's automatically potter from all of them. So one more thing, then the Gemara says about this matter of being a partner with a Kohen. The Gemara says Boy Lahu. So now the Bnei Yeshiva asks the question. Here we talked about when the Kohen is selling the animal to the Yisrael, and he says, I'm keeping the head, and you have the rest of the body. What about if he says the other way around? Harosh Shochav Kulashali. What if he says, I'm selling you, the Yisrael, only the head of the animal, and I'm keeping the rest of the animal? Mahu, what would be the din? As far as having to give L'chayayim. Or the same thing with Zoya, or the same thing with Kefa. Bosach Yuva Azlinan, do we go according to the place, the part of the body which has the Chiyuv, the Chiyuv Gabi Yisraelu, and the Chiyuv, the part that's required to give, belongs to the Yisrael, so therefore you should have to give it. Oydoma, Bosach Ika Behema Azlinan, maybe we should go according to the main Behema, the Ika Behema de Koyan, who and he, the most of the Behema belongs to the Koyan, and therefore maybe you should be Potter altogether. So the Gemara says Toshma, we can answer that. In other words, Tosfos explains, in the Mishnah we had, for example, when he sells an animal besides for the Matonis, then he's potter, fine. The Yisrael is not higher than the Matonis because they remain in the hands of the Kohen. Here the question is, the head of the animal does belong to the Yisrael, does he have to give the L'chayayim? Okay. So the Gemara says, Toshma, Obi Tuchav M'Kohen Shemos Ritzon in the Yisrael lives. If a Gori or a Kohen give their sheep to a Jew to shear, potter, then he's potter from racious activities, because the Kohen and the Gori are potter from these things. And Rashi explains, it could have said more simply, the Kohen or the Gori are potter from racious activities, but the same way as in the Mishnah at the beginning of our parak, we said that if a person shets on behalf of a Kohen or on behalf of a Gori, then he's potter, so therefore he uses the same expression over here by the racious activities. On the other hand, the Braita continues, Halakeach Geis Sonish Al Ovid Dechavim, and similarly, if a person bought the shearings from a Goy, so he buys from the Goy, when the sheep is shorn, the wool will belong to me, the animal itself you keep. Also Potter Mereshet HaGeis, and he's also Potter from Mereshet HaGeis. V'zeh, Choyme V'Zroel HaChayim V'Kevah, Yosem Mereshet HaGeis. Here you see a Chumrah in Zroel HaChayim V'Kevah more than Mereshet HaGeis. Namely, in other words, the implication is of the Braisa, that with Zroel HaChayim V'Kevah, it would not be like that. Even though the actual body of the animal belongs to a Koyan or a Goy, then you would be chayev in zero l'chayayim v'teva, even though in the case of reishis hageiz you're potter. So shemamina bosa chiyuv ha'azbunim, you see therefore that we go according to the chiyuv, we go according to the fact that this part of the body is chayev in zero l'chayayim v'teva, and therefore you have to give it. So the Gemara says, yeah, shemamina, indeed that proves it, and therefore that's how it is. So yes, even if the Kohen sold you only the head, you would be required to give l'chayayim from it, because those are part of the head, and the same thing with the other parts of the body if he sells you only that part.